BBC Holby City, starring Bob Barrett as Sasha, Paul Bradley as Elliot, Tina Hobley as Chrissy, and Harry Dillon as Michael. Hospital, a young man in a private room is being tended to by a nurse.
Добрый вечер.
A blonde lady doctor, Nadia, makes her way along a corridor. She enters the room to find him breathing heavily and instructs the nurse 5 milligrams of diazepam. She injects it through the cannula in his wrist, and the man's breathing immediately becomes calmer. She puts on her stethoscope, opens the man's pajama jacket, and listens to his chest. He watches her as she does so, then asks, "Well, doctor, will I make it to Christmas?"
Ну что, доктор? Поправлюсь до Рождества.
She replies, "Of course."
Обещаешь?
You promise?
Обещаю.
I promise.
Elliot! What brings you to AAU?
What time do you finish?
About 10 minutes.
I need to ask you something rather important.
This is your job. You are Holby Santa.
I was, but I'll be out of the country, so I'm passing on the mantle to you.
Jewish Santa. I'm deeply touched.
Good.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So, where are you off to?
I've been emailed by this doctor begging me to give a lecture on the Hope Valve. It's all very flattering. So, that is what I'll be doing tomorrow morning.
On Christmas Eve?
Where I'm going, Christmas doesn't even start until January the 6th.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be low.
Why are you still here?
Waiting for a cab.
What have you got to be so happy about?
I have just been crowned Holby Santa. And as of tomorrow, Daniel and I have 2 full weeks of Yuletide bonding to look forward to while Chris is off on a honeymoon.
You haven't heard then?
Heard what? Hi, Chrissy. I've just heard about you and Dan. If there's anything I can do, okay, anything, you know where I am.
Standing alone on the pavement at night, Sasha hangs up. At a railway terminal, Elliot travels down an escalator onto the station concourse. He looks around as if expecting someone to be waiting to meet him.
Mr. Hope! Mr. Hope! Welcome to Kiev.
Dr. Tereshenko?
Please, I prefer it if you call me Nadia.
How did you know it was me?
This is your first time in Ukraine?
Yes, never been further east than Germany before.
And this is our transportation.
Right. Splendid.
Company car. Comes with a job.
Thank you. How do I say thank you?
Дякую.
Дякую.
Great. You're fluent already.
Back at Holby, Chrissy enters A&D and approaches Luke.
Did I fall through a hole in the space-time continuum and emerge on the 6th of January?
My plans have changed.
I heard. Excellent news. We're in dire need of another pair of hands to staunch the unceasing flow of human misery. David Boggan. Unfortunate name. He thinks he has appendicitis. I think he has the after effects of his office Christmas party. Bed 6, have fun.
Sasha saw her come in and walks over to her.
I didn't expect to see you in here today.
What else should I be doing?
You sure coming in was a good idea?
My job is the one thing I know I can do, even if everything else is a complete disaster. This is one part of my life I know I can make a success of.
The students are very excited to hear you talk. They want to know all about the Hope Valve. You've brought one with you?
Yes, of course, and I've been polishing my lecture over the last few days. I hope it'll be of some interest.
I assure you, Mr. Hope, it will be a real privilege for us to hear about your important work in the United Kingdom.
I don't know about that. Is it always this cold?
I'm afraid, at this time of year.
So, using muscle taken from the patient's thigh, we wrap the valve in the fascia. The advantage of using the patient's own tissue... Sorry, yes, I'll let you...
There's only a tiny handful of students in the lecture hall.
The advantage of using the patient's own tissue is that the valve will last longer and the risk of infection is less.
Преимущество использования собственной ткани пациента в том, что клапан сохраняется дольше, а риск заражения инфекцией становится меньше.
So in conclusion, it only rests me to thank Dr. Tereshenko for inviting me to give this little talk. Дякую.
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 Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Hope, that was absolutely fascinating.
Well, I must say I had hoped for perhaps a slightly larger audience.
I must apologise, but being so close to Christmas...
I thought Christmas didn't start here until January the 6th.
For the young people, it starts now, your Christmas Eve, and it carries on until the New Year. I'm afraid your lecture couldn't compete with Zapoy.
Zapoy?
It means losing 2 or 3 days, maybe a week, to drinking.
Ah.
Some clichés about us Eastern Europeans. I'm afraid they're true.
No matter.
But since you're here, maybe I could give you a tour of the hospital?
Hmm.
I have a patient I would really value your opinion on.
Any particular reason you keep staring at Chrissy?
Fascinating case.
Fascinating how?
Freud's theory of psychodynamics. It's all about cathexis.
Come again?
Cathexis. It's the process of putting all of your mental or emotional energy into one thing.
So how does that apply to her?
Well, she was just about to make a lifelong commitment to that orthopod. Then she made a last-minute swerve. In theory, she should be falling apart right now, but well, she's throwing herself into her work. Classic case of denial.
She just needs cheering up.
Cheering up.
Sasha puts on a Santa hat.
I am Sasha Claus, and it is my sacred duty to spread joy and goodwill to all.
It's Christmas Eve on the acute admissions unit. It's gloomy as hell, and I like it that way.
With all due respect, Mr. Hemingway, I look forward to proving you wrong.
This is Jim Fortune. Pain to the left hand and abdomen. Possible internal bleed. It's a gift to us from ED. Apparently, there's no room at the end.
Santa! You stupid fat git!
Mr. Fortune, have you by any chance been drinking?
One tiny drink.
Any idea what happened?
Threw himself off a bridge.
Ho, ho, ho. Ow! Are these,
You must have seen sterilization drums before.
Yes, but not since my student days. They're rather wonderful.
Yeah, for you, maybe for us. It would be more wonderful to have brand new equipment.
Yes, yes, of course.
It's okay, Mr. Hope. We know very well what we don't have. 2 kilometers up the road is a private hospital with all the latest equipment. But here, we are at the mercy of the state.
Well, I can relate to that to some degree. I've spent my entire career in the National Health Service.
And you were never tempted by the big bucks in private medicine?
Honestly, no. I've always believed that the best medical care should be a right and not a privilege.
It should.
A young lad being restrained by two medical staff yells, "Get your hands off me, you stupid fat idiot." Nadia says, "Stop yelling or they'll give you something to yell about."
What's going on?
He's trying to steal from us.
He's just a child.
He's a street child. Look at him. He's filthy. He's probably on drugs too.
She tells him, "Empty your pockets." He replies, "Piss off, you empty your pockets." She finds a small bottle in his pocket and asks him, "Where did you get this?" He replies, "That's mine. Give it back to me. I bought it." She responds, "You're lying."
Let go.
You don't understand me.
He's in pain. You're hurting him.
She removes the boy's woolly hat and he immediately calms down. Later, she and Elliot are examining him. You look like Div Moroz.
Pomaci.
What's he saying to me?
He says you look like Ded Moroz. He's like our Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Он не местный?
The boy says to Nadia, he's not from Ukraine. She replies, he's from England. England, Andrei Shevchenko, Chelsea. I told you already, be quiet. You be quiet, replies the boy.
Good boy. If the tumour is pressing on his optic nerve, he risks losing the sight in this eye. So
I will stop you there, Mr. Hope. We cannot treat him here.
Why not?
The boy's life is not in danger. We don't have the equipment. We don't have the resources.
But it's a state hospital.
Bed space, medicine, they cost money.
So that's it?
That is our system. Now this patient I told you about. His condition is serious. It's urgent. I have grave concerns.
Right. But he stays here, at least until we get back.
She tells the boy, stay here.
Please. After you.
It'll be a lot easier if you just keep still.
Why don't you shut up and leave me
because
alone?
We need to assess you so that you don't die on us.
Well, don't you get it? That's the point. That's what I want. I want to die.
No, you don't.
Oh, really? You've got a special thing, have you? That look inside my head. You've got a special thing in me. What's it? What that I can look in here?
So I tell you what, this is a very, very busy department. Neither Mr. Levy nor myself have time to waste on self-pitying drunkards.
No.
So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put you on a drip, and then if you're very lucky, we'll come back and try this again.
Oh, good for you.
Sure that's a good idea?
Huh? Well, what's the worst that can happen? He dies on us. At least it will free up another bed.
You just send him back to the ED.
Have you seen an emergency department on Christmas Eve? Like something by Hieronymus Bosch.
How come I only seem to understand one word in three that comes out of your mouth?
Elliot's now listening to the young man's chest.
Right.
Thank you, Lev.
Thank you.
When did he have the pulmonary homograph?
When he was 24, 15 years ago.
Right, it's now calcified.
So what would you suggest?
Well, it needs to be replaced, and as soon as possible. It's a very risky procedure, but his only option, I'm afraid.
I already know all of that.
Then why did you need my opinion?
You said it yourself. His only chance now is a valve replacement. Perhaps one such as the Hope valve.
Yes, but I'd be wary of a surgeon who wasn't fully trained in fitting the valve, even attempting.
You misunderstand me. I wasn't talking about one of our surgeons. I can give you some money. I'm sure it's not what you're used to, but I can make it worth your while.
It's not about the money. You didn't ask me here to give a lecture, did you? Who is he?
He is my husband.
Right, so thanks for nothing.
Everything okay?
Actually, no. Stupid airline won't give me a refund on these tickets.
What tickets?
Honeymoon tickets. I've got two tickets to Australia. What am I supposed to do with them?
Well, maybe you should just go.
I can't go on a honeymoon for the wedding that I called off. This whole thing is turning into a nightmare.
No, it's not. It's fine. Okay, leave it with me. I'll sort it out. Honestly.
All right, well, the details and the times and everything's there. What would I do without you?
Hey, you've forgotten about me. I'm completely sober now, look.
Jack.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
What?
Now that the bone cruncher's off the scene, you're not going to start mooning after her again, are you?
I'm just concerned about my friend, that's all.
Good. Because I'd hope you have more self-respect than to go chasing after another guy's cast-offs.
Do you ever stop?
Nadia and Elliot are sitting together outside the hospital.
You brought me here.
under false pretenses. Why couldn't you just tell me the truth?
And would you have come? Do you think I want to do this? You think I have no pride?
Look, I would like to help you. I've only ever done this procedure with state-of-the-art equipment and a specially trained surgical team. It would be reckless, dangerous for me to even...
His heart could fail at any moment. You're supposed to be the best. You're supposed to be the one who can help him.
Where is he going?
Who knows? Back on the street.
Stop him.
Why?
I will help your husband if you help the boy.
Дякую.
As her doctor, I consider flying in a current emotional state to be extremely inadvisable, and as I've said before, I'm very happy to write a note to that effect. Yes, right. Well, thank you anyway.
To Chrissy.
It was something I'd been thinking about for a while. Last night I had a few drinks and a few more. Then that old black and white film came on, you know, the one with James Stewart. And he's standing on the bridge saying he wished he'd never been born. And I thought, yeah, that pretty much sums it up for me.
Come on, Jim. Things can't be that bad.
Start of last year, I lost both my parents within a week of each other. Then my wife left me, and the judge gave her full custody of my two small sons. So, yeah, Ashley Santa, things are that bad. They couldn't get much worse.
Actually, they could. Despite throwing yourself off a bridge, you've managed to escape with just a few bruises and a fractured wrist.
Should have picked a high bridge, shouldn't I? Seems such a total failure, I can't even top myself properly.
Mr. Levy, can I have a word? This might help with your Cheer Up Chrissy campaign, depending on the contents, of course. So results, the nurse practitioner's course.
Perfect.
Back in the Ukraine, Elliot's in an outdated operating theatre as it's being prepared. He presses a series of switches on a piece of equipment, but nothing happens.
They're bringing Lev now. Are you ready, Mr. Hope?
This bypass machine isn't working. Can we get another one, please?
We don't have another one.
I'm sorry, I can't continue without a working bypass machine.
We don't have time to delay the operation.
If anything were to go wrong, I would be guilty of manslaughter.
Please, Mr. Hope.
I'm sorry, Chrissy. And I know right now everything seems, you know, pretty hopeless, but all will be well. Okay, I know it in my bones. You just have to have a little faith.
Thanks for trying, Sasha. But I don't believe in happy endings anymore.
It needs a new roller pump.
It's Christmas Eve across most of Europe. Where exactly...
Well, my first thought was that private hospital you mentioned.
They don't allow equipment to leave
exactly.
premises.
So, I've called in a favour with an old acquaintance of mine in Hamburg. Midday tomorrow, I'm going to pick one up from the post office. Now, what about...
I left messages to the colleague of mine.
Nadia.
There's no hurry with him. His treatment can wait.
Dr. Tereshenko, I will be leaving here in 3 days' time. I need to know that he'll be taken care of.
It's Christmas. Maybe he's away.
You haven't phoned anyone, have you? We agreed.
My husband is dying. I would have agreed to anything.
There are thousands of heart surgeons. Why me? How did you even know I existed?
At a street cafe, the waitress asks Elliot, what can I get you?
Hello, Frida.
Thanks for everything, Doc, for putting up with me.
Merry Christmas, Jim. Have a good one.
Well, not much chance of that. My boys don't want to see me. Oh, thank you. I don't blame them. Can't afford to get them anything.
Hey, come on. Things can't be that bad. What you got here is another chance. You're going to go home, you're going to shave, you're going to put on a clean shirt, and you're going to treat tomorrow as day one of the new improved gym. Do you know what? Surprise them.
make a grand gesture. Give him a Christmas to remember.
Yeah, well, maybe I will. Thanks, Doc.
I don't know what else I can tell you. I gave you your name because her husband needs your help.
Why didn't you just call me?
It's not that simple.
Nothing about this situation is simple. It's all completely baffling, quite frankly. You disappeared from the hospital 2 months ago. Now I wind up embroiled with you and this Tereshenko woman in this bizarre situation.
You are going to help him, though, right?
Well, that all rather depends.
On what?
Whether I get the right equipment and whether she fulfills her side of the deal.
What deal?
There's this child, Misha. He has a large bony tumor on the side of his face, which needs surgery. I've told Nadia that I won't help her husband unless she helps him. How do you know this woman, Frida?
Lev was my tutor. He's a good man. You have to help him.
Who's going to help the boy?
No one is going to help him. Unless you find a plastic surgeon for free on Christmas Eve. Good luck. All right, I gotta go. I'm gonna lose my job. Somebody will bring a bill in just a second.
Frida.
Elliot's on his mobile.
No, I completely understand. Yes, and a Merry Christmas to you too. Okay, bye.
He hangs up with a sigh, scurrying up a piece of paper with a list of names on it, each one crossed out. He catches sight of a couple walking past with their little boy and watches them thoughtfully. At an airport bar, Michael's nursing a drink and chatting to the barmaid, who's a reluctant listener.
Anyway, it'll be the first Christmas I've spent with Adam since they were born. You know, it's fine. We agreed in a divorce we'd take it in turn, so this year the ex is taking them to visit her parents while I spend the Yuletide period with good old Mama G and Papa G in Florida. Let me ask you something. You like Christmas? Because I think it blows.
The barmaid tries to ignore him. Michael's mobile goes off with a call from Elliot.
Right, I'm heading home.
You're not going to go without having a Christmas tree, are you?
I know you're trying to cheer me up, but I can't face everyone right now. Excuse me, just came to check on Mr. Elgood. Might travel, have I taken a test? Has there been one yet?
No. So you're going to be here for a while, then?
Looks that way.
Well, that's splendid. So you can keep an eye on the shop. We're going to go for a Christmas drink.
Sasha and Chrissy walk out, leaving Jack looking fed up. Back in the Ukraine, Elliot, in fur deerstalker hat, is waiting on a railway platform as passengers disembark from a train. Once they've all gone, he walks off despondently. Then, someone calls to him from the platform opposite.
Hey! Where the hell are we?
Michael, I didn't force you to come.
Yeah, I know that.
So why did you?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out. Man, it is freezing here. What are we, like 3 miles from Siberia?
You've brought some warm clothing.
Elliot, I was on my way to Florida. I got 3 t-shirts and 6 pairs of swim trunks. Better be a decent hotel room at least.
Elliot looks worried. At Albie's bar, Sasha hands Chrissy a drink.
Listen, Chrissy. I've decided that Daniel should spend Christmas Day with you.
No, I can't let you do that. You've been looking forward to this for months.
No, seriously, the most important thing to me is that you have a happy Christmas.
But you've...
Chrissy, the decision is made, okay? There'll be plenty more Christmases.
There is an obvious solution. I could bring him to you.
Are you sure? I'm a terrible, terrible cook, okay? I guarantee the turkey will somehow be both dry and undercooked.
Sounds perfect.
Oh, I am so sorry. I cannot bear to sit here for another moment and listen to the songs I love being massacred like that. I've got to do something.
In Elliot's hotel room...
You have got to be kidding me.
Tried every hotel in the city. It's Christmas Eve.
Well, I'm certainly not going to share a hotel room with you.
Well, you're welcome to take your chances out there, but as you have already observed, it is extremely cold. Now, we've a long day ahead of us tomorrow, Michael, so you might want to just put on your pajamas.
Pajamas? Who the hell wears pajamas anymore?
Why, what do you wear?
Back at Albie's, Sasha's at the piano.
Any requests? What about the beautiful lady here?
I better get going.
No, please, please. Chrissy Williams? This one's for you. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, let your heart be light. From now on, your troubles will be out of sight.
Back in Elliot's room, he and Michael are standing at the bathroom mirror brushing their teeth, both wearing check pajamas.
I cannot believe this is happening.
To be honest, I'm just glad I packed a spare pair.
You know, I should be in Florida right now, lying next to a pool.
I will say it again. I didn't force you to come.
Through the years, we all will be together. If the fates allow, hang a shining star upon the highest bough.
Chrissy's entranced.
And have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now.
Well then, I suppose we'd better let you go and save our son from the crushed Christmas shindig. What? What is it? Oh my God. Oh, I made a complete fool of myself again, haven't I?
Shut up. I think I'm in love with you.
What am I supposed to say here, Chrissy?
I don't know.
For so long, this is all I ever wanted to hear from you. Not that I ever had any expectation that... How could you do this to me? Why now?
Because I didn't realise it before.
So what is it? What is it you love about me? Name one thing.
I don't know.
Well, there it is. I think that says it all.
Sasha.
A year ago, 2 years ago, to hear you say these words would have made me the happiest man alive. But now, I'm not going to be your consolation prize.
He walks off. Elliot and Michael are sitting on opposite sides of the bed.
You know, I was thinking five-star hotel, gorgeous Eastern European women. Maybe a couple bottles of cheap Russian champagne.
You know, you're really not fooling me, Michael.
What's that supposed to mean?
You screwed up. Publicly and humiliatingly. You nearly ruined everything for a lot of people, including me. And even though your first instinct was to take the coward's option and run away...
Coward's option?
I think you still have a lot to prove to yourself. That's why you agreed to come. That's why you find yourself cold in Kiev, sharing a bed with a 51-year-old bearded widower.
Oh, for God's sake.
They're both lying side by side in bed.
This never gets out, you understand? Ever.
Good night, Michael.
Please stop crying. Stop crying. Please stop crying. Thank you.
I'm so sorry. I didn't think...
What, that a crèche might actually close on Christmas Eve?
Sorry.
Do you have any idea how hard it is to stop this thing from crying?
I'm sorry I put you out.
What's up with you? I thought you and Sasha were going off to rock around the Christmas tree.
It didn't really work out.
He didn't try and declare his undying love to you, did he? Oh, God, he did. How entirely mortifying. He really does have no self-respect at all, does he?
You know what, Jack? You've got it completely wrong again.
Oh?
I'm the one with no self-respect. I'm the one doing the declaring.
Why would you do that?
I think the best thing for me to do is get out of here. I've got 2 tickets to Australia. Start again. Before anyone else gets hurt.
I think that's probably a good idea.
Merry Christmas.
Jack looks indifferent. At the operating theatre in the Ukraine, Michael picks up a hand drill.
You gotta be kidding me.
I have performed over 1,000 operations in that theatre.
Good for you. I admire your resourcefulness.
Typical American, right? Everything has to be shiny and new for you.
Hey, lady, believe me, right now I would settle for just hygienic. You are expecting me to crack open a kid's skull with no CT, no MRI, and with a drill I wouldn't use to put up shelves.
I think that's enough now, Michael.
The Americans.
Michael, this is Misha.
He asks if you are the American.
Michael walks up to Misha, his mood softening as he examines a large bruise on the boy's forehead.
Yeah.
New York?
Am I for... No.
The Indians.
What did he say?
He wants to know if you're a red Indian.
No.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, будет лечить меня?
He wants to know if the cowboy is going to fix him.
Sasha walks along a corridor to the nurse's station, passing a woman in a party hat throwing up.
Merry Christmas.
Mr. Levy, you're not down to work today.
Change of plan. Where do you want me?
Man the desk, we're in theatre.
Chrissy's in the back of a taxi, calling Sasha on his mobile. But the phone rings in Sasha's locker, unanswered.
What do you want me to say? I flew over, I took a look at the kid. I can't help him. I wish I could.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna go to the airport and catch the first flight back to civilization.
So you're going to run away. That's your solution to everything, isn't it?
No, I am not running away. You know what this procedure involves. I have to peel back the skin on this kid's head and rebuild his skull. You want me to do that with a team that speaks no English, who I've never worked with before? Come on, there's no chance.
Michael, what if there were someone here, someone who speaks perfect English, who you've worked with many times?
No, she's not right. I don't want her doing this.
What?
I don't want to see her. I don't want her in my hospital.
What's going on here?
I am going to the post office to pick up some equipment which may very well help save your husband's life. You, Dr. Tereshenko, must put aside whatever grievance you may have with Frida. Because right now, we need her help.
Petrenko.
Oh, great.
Oh, hey, Frida. It's nice to see you, too. How you been? Having a good Christmas?
Who the hell is next? Henrik Hansen? Is gonna show up and order some vareniki dumplings? What are you doing here?
Elliot called me.
Okay, and you came to Kiev? Ah, Because it's full of skinny women and men in even shinier suits than you?
Hey, let's cut the wisecracks.
Uh-huh.
Look, what's going on here, Frida? You disappear off the face of the earth and wind up waiting tables in a cafe in Kiev?
Will you leave me alone now?
Hey, I'm not asking for much.
You don't know what you're asking me.
Yes, I do. I'm asking you to translate and pass me stuff. Big wow.
You're not listening to me.
So what is the big deal?
I can't go back there.
Where?
To the hospital. I cannot go back there.
Well, why not? You know, what is it with you and Nadia? What is she, an ex-lover or something?
Please don't.
How could you possibly have done that? It's so bad.
You really want to know?
Yeah.
I killed their daughter.
Elliot finds Nadia in her office, cutting something with a hacksaw. She looks at him expectantly.
I'm so sorry. Post office had no record of the parcel.
Or they did, but Ukrainian customs got to it first.
I tried calling the British Embassy, but, well, it's Christmas Day, so... I'm so sorry.
In your country, when an old woman breaks her hip, the procedure is simple. She receives an artificial hip. Here we have this. And if I can't find the right size, I make it the right size. I have to work with what I have. The situation is not ideal, but I have no choice.
I can't operate without a bypass machine.
It is not vital, you said.
It could be.
My husband could live. But because you are scared...
I have done everything I can to help your husband. Even though you've lied to me, even though you're doing everything you can to obstruct Misha's treatment.
I am not obstructing.
Then why don't you want Frida Petrenko to help?
I have my reasons.
What? What possible reasons could you have?
Frida was my best friend. She was like a little sister to me. My daughter Katya was born with the same condition as her father. One night, Frida was the junior doctor on duty. Me and Lev had gone home to get some sleep. That was the night Katya died. When we got back here, Frida has just gone. She didn't even try to say sorry or explain to us. She didn't even care enough to...
It's not fair. The way she talks about Lev, it's clear that she does care.
Does she?
If it wasn't for Frida, I wouldn't be here.
Thank you, Mr. Hope. But I need to get on.
Elliot quietly walks out. Jack finds Sasha sitting at the reception desk, looking despondent. She sits down next to him.
Chrissy told me what happened last night.
What did she tell you for?
I was here babysitting Minnie-Me.
Right.
If I'd have humiliated myself that comprehensively, then I'd think about switching hemispheres too.
What do you mean, switch hemispheres?
I thought she would have told you.
She's going to Australia? Today?
She said she was thinking about quitting this place and starting again, and I told her I thought it was a good idea.
What did you tell her that for?
Because it is. Nothing else to stop you mooning around after her.
She's taking my child to the other side of the world, and you don't see why I might not be too, you know, thrilled about the idea?
Just give it a couple of weeks and she'll be back.
What if it isn't just a couple of weeks? What if she doesn't come back?
You'll remember Mr. Fortune, backed by popular demand from the ED. Mr. Fortune has superficial burns to the backs of his legs and his feet, smoke inhalation and rib fractures.
What the hell happened?
Decided to surprise the boys by playing Santa Claus.
He let himself in the house and tried to hide up the chimney.
You must be Mrs. Fortune.
I used to be.
I wanted to surprise them. I wanted to give them a bit of Christmas magic, like you said. A grand gesture. How was I to know if she was going to light the fire?
So you're the one who put him up to all this? The boys are completely traumatised.
Do you know what? Your ex-husband was at such a low ebb yesterday, he tried to jump off a bridge. I was trying to stop him from doing it again. I was trying to do something nice, but don't worry about it. I've learnt my lesson and I can see where being nice gets you.
Stomach's distended. Let's get him into theatre.
As Nadia sits with Lev, Misha asks her, is he going to be okay? She replies, of course. Mm-hmm. When is the cowboy coming back? I don't know. He starts putting on his hat and she asks, where are you going? He replies, he's not coming, I get it. Don't worry about me.
Misha.
Nadia asks him, what happened to your parents? Never had a dad. My mother loved drugs more than she loved me. It's fine, I can look after myself, I'm strong. Here, give me your hand. She does so, saying, careful, you'll break my hand. Lev looks on as she tells Misha, stay here today. She pulls off his hat, adding, it's cold out there. Misha nods.
You're a junior doctor. Should have never been left in charge.
But I was. And they trusted me. And I failed them, and I failed Katya.
So why'd you come back here?
My mother heard about Lev, so she called me. I got on the first plane I could.
And then?
I wrote a letter trying to explain why I ran away, and eventually Nadia replied. She and Lev did not want to see me. So I wrote back with just two lines, Mr. Hope's name and his email address. And I promised I will not bother her again.
So what are you still doing here a month later?
How can I leave before I know he's better?
Come with me, please.
Have you just heard a word I said?
Just come to the hospital.
I can't.
You know, I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of lately, and I have caused a lot of people a lot of pain. I need to help this kid. I think you do too.
How's he doing?
He's gonna be fine.
Thank you. I don't know what he was thinking, pulling a stunt like that. I mean, what was he trying to prove?
What do you think he was trying to prove? He was trying to tell you he still loves you.
What?
We're men. We find it easier to jump off a bridge than to say I love you. We are basically just stumbling around in the dark, hoping that once in a while we might accidentally say the right thing or do the right thing or time things right so that... Oh, my God. I am the biggest lunkhead in the universe.
You've lost me.
Listen, it is patently obvious you still love your ex-husband and he clearly still loves you, so please stop faffing about and just accept the fact, okay? It is Christmas Day, he's the father of your children, deal with it. Cathexis.
What?
Ask him. I need the number for a cab.
At the airport, Chrissy gets out of a black cab with Daniel in the pushchair. She walks into the airport terminal, pulling a wheeled suitcase. Nadia enters the operating theatre to find Elliot crouched on the floor working on the bypass machine.
Mr. Hope?
So, if the machine doesn't work... I make the machine work.
Michael enters the hospital, followed by Frida. She stops outside the entrance door. Michael realizes and looks back at her. Frida seems rooted to the spot. Finally, she walks in. Sasha's on the phone.
I don't have any cabs for at least 2 hours. 2 hours? Yes, I'm very well aware it's Christmas Day. Thank you. Do you got any numbers for taxi firms?
Why would I?
12 o'clock. Her flight's at 12 o'clock.
Taxi will never make it there on time.
Great, that's it. She disappears to the other side of the world and I just let her go.
Oh, for God's sake, you have been boring us all senseless, banging on about how much you love this woman since 1972. And if for no other reason than to just shut you up, I'm going to make damn sure you get to that airport on time.
How exactly?
Jack's motorbike screeches up outside the airport with Sasha on the back.
That was easily the most terrifying 40 minutes of my life.
You're wasting time.
Thank you.
Oh, get off me, you big idiot!
He dashes in. Elliot and Michael are walking along the corridor in their operating scrubs.
Good luck. You too.
Surrounded by the medical team, Elliot prepares to operate on Lev. Nadia watches him, and she and Elliot exchange a nod.
Thank you.
In an adjoining theatre, Michael's about to operate on Misha, with Frieda assisting him. He gently places a soft white cloth over Misha's face, leaving just his forehead exposed. Sasha's now running through the airport terminal looking everywhere for Chrissy.
Sorry.
He bumps into a passenger pushing a trolley. He studies the departures board. His face drops when he sees the flight to Sydney showing last call.
Enjoy your flight, sir.
Now he's at the back of a check-in queue. He taps the shoulder of a Japanese woman in front of him, standing with her husband. The couple turn round.
Excuse me. Sorry, I wouldn't ordinarily do this, but the woman I love is about to disappear to Australia, possibly forever. So I really need to buy a ticket to get on that plane to stop her. So is there anywhere I could just jump ahead of you? Clearly you speak no English at all. Which is... right. Maybe I should call her. Why didn't I think of that? Thank you.
He takes out his mobile and sees there's a missed call from Chrissy and a voicemail message.
Hi, it's me. I just wanted to apologise for last night. You asked me what I love about you. And I should have said, I love you because you're kind. Because you're decent. Because you're a grown-up. I love you because you're safe, but never boring. And in another place and another time, I think we could have made a wonderful family. I think we could have been happy.
Sasha looks devastated. Lev's operation.
Okay. Here we go. Deploying the valve.
Nadia looks on as Elliot inserts the valve using a syringe-like device. He gently draws the metal tube back out of the wound.
Okay. Fine, thank you everyone. Just need to put a stitch in the wound and we're home.
Au revoir.
He's fibrillating.
Oh.
Paddles. Paddles! Defibrillator! Get me freed up!
He starts chest compressions as Nadia hurries out.
I need you.
What are you talking about? I need her in here. Can't do this on my own.
Take over. What about Lino, King?
I just had 100 milligrams. Nothing's working. Right, we're gonna have to put him on bypass.
In the adjoining theatre, Nadia's assisting Michael as he works on Misha's skull. He uses a pair of surgical pliers to carefully shape a small piece of bone he's holding.
Okay, let's put him on bypass, please.
Давай.
The bypass machine whirs into life, but then conks out.
No.
We'll have to do it by hand. Отойди.
One rotation and five counting. One, two, three, four, five.
Frieda operates the machine by turning a lever. Michael fits the piece of bone into position in Misha's skull while Nadia watches him.
You're a good cowboy.
Go check on your husband.
She hurries into the adjoining theatre.
Steady. Hold it there. Okay, let's ease him off all together.
Frieda's now stopped turning the lever, and everyone waits. Come on, Lev, please, she urges. The operating team are holding their breath. As Lev stabilizes, Nadia lets out a sigh of relief beneath her surgical mask. Later, in Lev's hospital room, Frieda's sitting at his bedside. She gets up to leave as Nadia walks in, but she tells her, don't go, be here when he wakes up. Why?
Зачем?
You saved his life. Frieda replies, I don't think so, and starts to walk out.
Это не твоя вина.
But Nadia adds, it wasn't your fault. We should never have left you in charge. Lev never blamed you. It was me. I blamed you. Why? Because I didn't want to blame myself.
Потому что я не хотела винить саму себя.
Guess by the time you get this, you and Daniel will both be in Sydney, but I just wanted to say, of course I love you. I always have. You know that. But I am Sasha Levy, and what I do is I mess things up. I trip over, I put my foot in my mouth, I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time. Anyway, what I wanted to say is, do whatever you have to do. Do whatever makes you happy. Because that's all I've ever wanted for you. And it still is.
Turn around.
You're in Sydney.
Apparently not.
She walks up to him and they share a kiss on the lips as Daniel sits in his pushchair, pointing and smiling. In a lounge area at the hospital, Elliot sits down on a sofa, head bowed in relief. Misha's asleep, his head wrapped in a white bandage, as a hospital worker tucks him up in bed. Michael stands at his bedside, gazing at him fondly. One of Misha's eyes flickers open, and he raises two fingers like a pretend gun and shoots at Michael. Smiling, Michael does the same in return.
See you later, partner.
He wanders out of Misha's room and joins Elliot on the sofa. Both men recline back, exhausted.
Oh.
Jim comes to in hospital to find his wife and two boys at his bedside.
Have I died, or is this really happening?
Merry Christmas, knucklehead.
He hugs both boys close, while Luke and Hansen look on.
Warms the cockles of your heart, doesn't it?
Mr. Hansen, I had no idea you were in the building.
Oh, you assumed I'd be elsewhere, enacting some arcane Swedish Yuletide tradition?
I don't like to make assumptions about anyone, least of all you. Although I trust you left some porridge out for Yule Tomten.
Naturally.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Hansen.
And to you, Mr. Hemingway.
In the hospital room, Nadia says thank you to a nurse. Then, she leans over Misha's bed and says hi.
Привет.
He asks her, will I be in here for Christmas? She replies yes.
Да.
Then adds, sleep.
Спи.
Then she goes over to Lev, who's lying in the bed opposite. He asks her, what happens to him after Christmas? She looks round at Misha and replies, he will be fine. Elliot and Michael are sitting on a bench together in the city centre.
Thank you.
I'm guessing you pretty much asked every other plastic surgeon in Europe before you got to me, right?
Of course.
Hey, I'm not complaining. I got a great pair of pajamas out of it.
Happy Christmas.
You too.
Ah.
Dr. Petrenko, care for some vodka?
What better way to celebrate the birth of our savior than with 40% pure alcohol?
I don't suppose there's any possible way I could persuade you to return to Holby, Dr. Petrenko.
What would be the point? Mr. Spencer's no longer there.
Ah, I don't know. I think maybe I should take that tall Swede a big slice of humble pie and see if he's still got a place for a shiny suited cowboy. You want to see if he's still got a place for a Ukrainian emo with an attitude problem?
Why don't we talk about it over dinner?
Dinner.
I tried to persuade her that it was a very bad idea, but my mother said she would not speak to me again if I didn't bring the two of you back for a traditional Ukrainian Christmas dinner.
Well, then I think it would be rather ungracious of us to decline, wouldn't it, Michael?
Yes, I think it would.
Lead on, Dr. Petrenko.
By the way, Elliot, you know you snore.
And how do you know that?